And a good morning. Welcome back to Nevada Wild. I'm Jerry Evans. Father's Day edition on this Sunday. Hope you're having a great day. But if you're near the radio, got some important information and news for you right now. And that is with Safari Club International. A couple of big things have been happening over the last couple of weeks or so. And here to bring you up to date on those, one legal, one just good news for hunters, is Ben Cassidy. He's the Director of Government Affairs at Safari Club International, SCI. Ben, happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah, Jerry, happy Father's Day. It's going to be a good one. You know, I've got one daughter and another on the way, so a lot to celebrate. Looking forward to getting outside and hoping that it's not too wet. It's been raining a lot here.
Oh, well, we got kind of the opposite. It's going to be dry. I'm going to be on Silver Lake, 7,300-foot elevation, and be out there with some grandkids and maybe a little bit of camping overnight, kind of preparation for my upcoming wilderness hunt in September to hunt up with a couple of granddaughters to a place called Granite Lake and do a little outdoor wilderness stuff, which I got to get used to. It's been a while since I've done anything like that. Let's talk about a couple of different things. One legal, one a legal victory for SCI and America's hunters. Let's talk about that one first, and then we've got some hopefully better news that came out of the Senate and Congress. It's kind of rare to say that anything good comes out of those two houses.
Yeah.
A little bit of a political bias on my part. Let's talk about this victory for American hunters on this endangered species and threatened wildlife, the importation of such and everything. I remember back when I was doing the radio show for Safari Club International back in 08-09 and that ruling regarding polar bears that had been taken legally, hunted legally, and then there was the ban on importing them, and Safari Club International was involved in that fight. Let's bring people up to date so they get a little bit of a background on what we're going to talk about.
So specifically on the court decision this week?
Yes, exactly.
On polar bears.
Yeah, well,
okay.
I tell you what, let's go ahead and do the polar bear thing again. And essentially, there were a lot of polar bears that had been taken legally. They were sitting in cold storage.
Still are. So, I mean, it's still being fought by SCI and our allies to free those free them from their coolers. But, yeah, I mean, that was put in place under the Obama administration, putting the polar bear on ESA, and overnight these legally harvested, you know, animals are stuck over there. So some of them have made their ways over to, you know, Canadian Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops where they're on display. The majority are still, you know, canned and ready to be returned. So we're continuing to work through the administration and legislatively with champions like Don Young to bring them back. We know that we've been quite the sore and interior side with bringing it up at every turn. So hopefully we'll have more good news to come soon, because that still needs to be resolved, but we're still working hard on it.
Yeah, it's been going on for over 10 years. Now, what about this latest U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's case-by-case permitting policy for the importation of endangered and threatened wildlife? Give us some background on that.
Major decision that went our way after, you know, over 6 years of being heavily involved at SCI and alongside, you know, NRA in defending the Fish and Wildlife Service's case-by-case approach to issuing permits on threatened species. You know, it goes all the way back to 2014 when just overnight, without any comment period or any heads up, just an abrupt countrywide ban on importation of trophies from Africa. So that was challenged. It was overturned. Fish and Wildlife Service began issuing permits on a case-by-case basis rather than on a countrywide basis. It's much better at, you know, reflecting the health of that individual animal, as well as, you know, bringing into play the important role that hunters and, you know, concessions over there play in the health of the species. So that was being challenged by our friends, and I say that sarcastically, over at CBD. And we won. It was, you know, a decision put out by three judges, two recent appointees, and then one was actually an Obama appointee that sided with us and with the Fish and Wildlife Service on their case-by-case process.
Yeah, you know, I always think, Ben, and again, it's Ben Cassidy, the Director of Government Affairs at SCI on Nevada Wild, with us here on this Sunday, Father's Day. It's so frustrating sometimes to point out just the simple common sense of the damage that is done not only to the animals or the species, but to the local communities in Africa when stuff like this is taken up by these do-gooders. It hurts them more than it, obviously not more than it makes them feel good about what they've done. That would be the Obama administration, but I've been over there, and I see what, not only the money that goes into conservation efforts over there in those countries, one thing that's not really ever really mentioned, but the fact that the protein, the meat from these animals goes to good use over there in feeding some of these people that have a hard time getting good protein.
Right. Not to mention, I mean, just looking at that local economy, right? A lot of the times these concessions are just in parts of the country that folks aren't going to go to otherwise without these opportunities, you know, to have these great hunting experiences. So you remove that aspect, and it just completely cripples those economies. You can really liken it a lot to, you know, some of the local economies we see here in the United States. When you go, you know, out west, where hunting really drives those economies, same regard over there.
Yeah, exactly. Back when we were fighting the wolf issue back in 08 and 09, I used my own personal experience and receipts of such of how much money I spent going to the area of Challis, Idaho, and that area up there, and what was the other, Gibbonsville, Idaho, and hunting in that area, and the lack of wolf management and what it had done to the elk population. And I still remember it being close to a couple $1,000s that go into those small communities in the fall when they need it the, I won't say they need it the most, they always need it, but just like you said, the impact on the local economies over in those small towns in Africa and villages is, so let's just do a recapsulation real quick,
right,
and then we'll get to some really good news, hopefully. The Great American Outdoors Act, but the a legal victory for SCI and American hunters. Just one more time, what has happened?
Yeah, so basically the court's decision to uphold the Fish and Wildlife Service's case-by-case review for processing permits basically sent CVD and the antis packing their stuff up and going home, because it's going to ensure that there won't be any more, you know, abrupt countrywide bans that can come out of nowhere. You know, these sweeping bans that can be, like you said, devastating to range countries and local economies and conservation of the species.
But Ben, you and I both know the left, the anti-hunters, never rest. They'll be back. A reason why somebody who is a hunter, whether you're a mule deer hunter in the West, elk hunter in the West, or a whitetail hunter in the East, why they should be a member, or a duck hunter, why they should become a member of Safari Club International.
Well, Safari Club International is just this case right here with the D.C. Circuit. We are the ones that are leading the charge in the courts, second to none. No one else is doing it the way Safari Club is. You can point to this. You can point to our victory, you know, late last year, protecting the privacy of hunters' information from antis getting a hold of it. Victories in Louisiana on the black bear and its listing. We're the ones that are frontline in the courts defending. And then, you know, advocacy-wise, there's no better army. There's no better presence in D.C. when it comes to defending hunters. There's groups out there for every species, whether it's elk, you know, duck, mule deer, but there's really one group for every hunter, and that's SCI.
All right, Ben Cassidy, well said. We're going to take a quick break on Nevada Wild, and we'll be right back, wrap up the show just before Gun Talk coming up, with some really good news, potentially. We'll talk with Ben Cassidy at SCI about that right after this break. Welcome back to Nevada Wild on this Sunday. I'm Jerry Evans on 92.3 FM Talk, 99.1 FM Talk. Ben Cassidy is our guest right now. He's with Safari Club International. By the way, he's the Director of Government Affairs at SCI. The Great American Outdoors Act, out of the Senate. Ben, let's talk about this right now with a little bit of setup and background on what this potentially could mean to hunters.
Yeah, this week the Senate voted on and passed the Great American Outdoors Act. It's been a long road to get here. It's a giant, giant bill, a huge solution to big problems on public lands, involving, you know, permanent funding, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, as well as a significant amount of money going towards the enormous deferred backlog, deferred maintenance backlog on our public land. So that's Park Service, Fish and Wildlife, Refuges, BLM land, and Forest Service. Passed with great bipartisan support, really championed by, you know, Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado and Senator Steve Daines from Montana. Huge win for hunters and just any outdoor enthusiast. You know, we're talking about Father's Day today. This is something that's going to ensure that our public lands are protected and upkept for generations to come, for our kids and their kids. So it's really a huge deal. Amazing, really, to just see something of this scope and size that, you know, I've had the fortune to work on for a long time. And, you know, it just feels really special just to see it go through and just really give assurances for our public lands that they're going to be funded, that decisions about, you know, taking care of our national treasures aren't at the whim of different politicians, but really just secured for now and for the future. So couldn't be more excited. There's still a lot of work to be done, you know, past the Senate, but now we go to the House. We have the president's commitment to sign it, so he's waiting on it. You know, it's a bill that's got SCI behind it, but, you know, 800 other organizations. Just go through the whole alphabet soup of all the different hunting organizations that have helped push it over as well. So want to see it passed as is and signed on a nice sunny day somewhere out west by the president.
Now, you know, I do most of my hunting in the West, Ben, and anybody that's been in our national forests in the West has seen the lack of any kind of a management or any kind of a forest policy. And that's why we have so many fires that just burn and burn and continue to burn. There's so much deadfall in our national forest. And I do remember back when Donald Trump was running for president, and fortunately he's got Donald Trump Jr., an avid hunter, and his other son, who have some, hopefully, some influence on him. Because I remember him mentioning something about our national forest and starting to manage them, because they have been, gosh, for as long as I can remember, unmanaged. They're just simply there. What's funny is I lease land in the national forest for a small cabin that I have. And again, it's that whole thing of where you can't do good, proper management of the trees on your land until, unfortunately, it's usually when something completely wipes out everything and burns it out. Then they say, oh, yeah, okay, maybe you can rake up pine needles. That's kind of an exaggeration, but not too far-fetched, because right. That's what happened in Lake Tahoe several years ago with something here locally called the Aurora Fire. You couldn't rake up pine needles without permission, and I think the people themselves would do a better job of managing some of our forests on the land that they occupy. So just to circle back to that, was one thing that Donald Trump did mention during his first campaign and is going to make good on the promise, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, you heard him talk about extensively, obviously, when all eyes were on California, you know, last fire season, how it's just these fires a lot of the times can be prevented with active management. That's not a bad word. It's healthy for the forest to manage rather than letting them lay to waste and then end up becoming, you know, a big fire hazard.
Great to see
the commitment there on active management.
Yeah, exactly. So Senate passed a version.
Senate has passed it 73-25 yesterday around lunchtime over here. In the House, Congressman Mike Simpson and Joe Cunningham from South Carolina introduced their companion, which is identical right now. So that'll begin moving in the process. So we're hoping to see swift passage in the House with all the support it has across the spectrum of public land users so that it can head to the president's desk for signature.
You know, I don't put
that really big hurdle was getting it done in the Senate.
Okay. I was going to just say I don't have a whole lot of confidence in Nancy Pelosi and giving Trump a victory on anything good. What's your read? You're back in Washington, D.C. So what kind of a read have you got on the House version? I mean, are we going to have Green New Deal legislation tacked in there? And
I don't think it'll be able to fly through the House that way. And if it did, it would end up going to conference, where you'd have the Senate renegotiate, and that would be taken out. At the end of the day, it's a bill unamended that has 800 groups that support it from every corner of America, from the full spectrum. Conservation, I mean, is a bipartisan issue. It's not something that needs to be messed with. And right now, if there's ever a time that we need a win like this, it's right now. It really brings folks together. I don't think that's lost. I think that that spirit was embraced and fully demonstrated in the Senate. And I anticipate it's going to happen in the House and then signed by the president as well. Obviously, you know, things can get pretty silly and we'll see a lot of floor speeches and hot air blown. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's the will of the people. It needs to be. So I'm being optimistic and I'm really hoping that the House, you know, is able to see this for what it is, as what the people want, and something that needs to be just passed quickly and signed into law. I mean, both sides have been fighting for it. You'll see both sides having gone on the record saying that they're very supportive and fully supportive of you know, both of the big pieces there, whether it's deferred maintenance or LWCF. So it seems like a non-issue that should go through.
Seems like, but seems like a whole lot of common sense is lacking there in Washington, D.C. SEI and your offices excluded, Ben. Ben Cassidy.
I appreciate that.
Director of Government Affairs at Safari Club International. Ben, real quick, don't want to put you on the spot or throw you a curveball here. One of the cases that we followed with Anna Seidman was the Herrera versus Wyoming case. Just a little bit of a background, won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but I'm wondering if you've got any new news on that. Just real quickly, former Crow tribal game warden leaves the reservation, shoots several elk. So he's poaching off reservation, out of season, and obviously no tags. And one of the disappointing rulings by Gorsuch, who's been pretty good at disappointing rulings lately, ruled according to an 1868 treaty that that was perfectly okay. It's going back to Wyoming versus Herrera, or more properly, Herrera versus Wyoming. Has there been a date set in that? I haven't been able to get any information on that.
Yeah, we haven't seen a date set. You know, the last update that we'd received from the court was early May. Believe, you know, it's still pending in the state court. Basically went back to the state based off of the state's claims on the preclusive effects of, you know, a previous case that said, you know, statehood erased that what the treaty held for the crows being able to hunt out of season and, you know, willy-nilly.
So, yeah, and
it's gone back to the state and waiting to see it come back up to get, you know, better clarity, because the opinion in the Supreme Court didn't erase what Repsis had to say, what the previous court case had to say.
Yeah, and there are parts of that treaty that the Crow Nation would not want to abide by, like the fact that they are required to reside only on the reservation. So we'll follow that case and look for updates from Safari Club International. Ben Cassidy, once again, happy Father's Day. Thanks for joining us on Nevada Wild. And we'll get caught up with you again, and then we'll talk a little more fun stuff like what you got planned for the fall and hunting.
Looking forward to it, Jerry, and happy Father's Day to you as well. Enjoy training for your next big hunt.
Thank you, Ben. Ben Cassidy, Director of Government Affairs at Safari Club International, Nevada Wild. Stay tuned. Fox News and Gun Talk coming up next.